Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth. It is great to be here with you on A Quiet Life. This is episode 62 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Thursday the 16th of April 2020. And yes, it's a Thursday. So I normally, if you listen to this regularly, know that I record this on Wednesdays, but yesterday I just needed to rest. I woke up, had a cup of coffee, went back to sleep, didn't get out of bed till midday. I just needed that day. And I want to read something that came up on Facebook that encouraged me. So here it is. It's written by, it is written by Jeff Foster, and it was originally shared, as far as I know, by someone called Robin Collins. I don't know either of these people. I can't remember who shared it that I shared it from. I think it's just beautiful, though, and it really helped me yesterday. So it's called Let Yourself Rest. If you're exhausted, rest. If you don't feel like starting a new project, don't. If you don't feel the urge to make something new, just rest in the beauty of the old, the familiar, the known. If you don't feel like talking, stay silent. If you're fed up with the news, turn it off. If you want to postpone something until tomorrow, do it. If you want to do nothing, let yourself do nothing today. Feel the fullness of the emptiness, the vastness of the silence, the sheer life in your unproductive moments. Time does not always need to be filled. You are enough, simply in your being. So I don't know if you need to hear that today. I really needed to hear that yesterday. It was helpful. God loves us because we are children of God. He loves us because he loves us. And we don't have to do anything to prove ourselves to him or to garner worth from him or to somehow climb up the ladder to heaven. He loves us anyway, even on those days like I had yesterday where nothing is what we end up doing. And you are enough. God is enough. He's made us human beings, not human doings. If you need to rest, I hope that you get this message today. So, that was beautiful. Today I feel much better. I've gone for a morning walk this morning and, you know, listened to the Bible and done the normal thing. And I'm still a bit emotionally fragile, but I think that's the reality of the grief that we're working through at this time. And, so I'm just letting myself have a little cry and then getting on with life. Speaking of getting on with life, praise God, Moz is over the shingles. So that's wonderful. He's back to 100%. He's able to get up and do things around the house, and that's just awesome. So thank you for your prayers if you were praying from last week. I really appreciate it, and God has answered, and Moz is better. So today's episode is a year of saying no episode, and in this episode I talk about how I rewarded myself with a star chart for the things I said no to in that year of saying no. I had my nice little star chart, and when somebody asked me to do something and I said no, I got a gold star because I was training myself in a new way of thinking. And we're halfway through the book now. I've just read the chapter for May, so I guess I've got one more, June. But we're close to halfway through the book now, and I hope that you're enjoying it because I'm really getting a lot out of reading it. I feel like I'm relearning the lessons that I learned. I feel like I need to go over them again and again, and it's been really helpful to me, and I hope it's been helpful to you. I hope I'm not the only one also who has to relearn the lessons every 5 minutes as life changes and you go, oh, yes, that's right, I need to remember to think of things that way. So I hope that as I'm reading it, that you're enjoying it, that it's helping you. But It's definitely helping me. So yes, today's chapter is about star charts, and I hope that you enjoy it. May. In May, we made a very clear and conscious decision that I would leave my job at the uni and be settled in my new job, whatever that was, by the beginning of 2019. I would continue until the end of my contracts, 4 days a week until December, and then 2 days a week until June, and then something else. But what? I began listening to podcasts and reading books about life changes. Quitter by John Acuff, Career Change by Joanna Penn, blogs by Christine Catherine Rush and Dean Wesley Smith, talks from the Alpha Leadership Conference. One blog post by Joanne Berthelsen asked, "What is the invitation God is extending to you for the next part of your life?" I really started searching for the answer to that question. I read The Pastor by Eugene Peterson, where he talks about having work that is congruent with his personality, with who God made him to be, and with the vision God had placed in his heart. And I realised that that congruence was what was missing for me in my university position. I didn't want to let my colleagues down or leave them in the lurch, and I felt a bit guilty because I knew that our department was short on teaching staff, but I knew it was time for me to go. Semester one finished at the end of May, to my great relief. One more semester's teaching to go. Chapter 7. Reward Yourself. I find saying no so incredibly hard. I don't like to let people down. I don't want to be a disappointment. Actually, when I was a kid and my parents wanted to discipline me, all they had to say was, "I'm so disappointed in you." And that was it. I was in my bedroom crying. True story. Up until the age of, let's say, 20 and married. So when I started putting boundaries around my life this year, I had to do two things. I had to allow myself to put the boundaries in place, and I had to reward myself for saying no. First, I had to give myself permission. I knew things were changing this year. I wanted a year with more time to do the writing I felt God was calling me to do. I wanted to feel less tired, less stretched. I read wonderful books like Margin by Richard Swenson and The Best Yes, and I knew that in order to do what I was called to do, I would need to say no to some things. To allow this to happen, I designated 2017 as the year of saying no to everything. This year, I was allowed to say no. This year I didn't have to feel like everything was my responsibility. It was actually my responsibility to say no. I didn't need to come up with reasons or excuses to back out. I didn't need to ask myself whether or not I should decline the invitation. This was the year of saying no. One afternoon I found that it was just so helpful to have the decision made ahead of time. You see, I was working with an amazing woman who had heaps of energy and just loved social occasions. Gemma is the kind of person who organises team building activities, the kind of person who enjoys get to know you games. And she was eager to build our work team into a coherent whole. One of the first things that she suggested was that we all go to an escape room together. I don't know if you know about escape rooms. They are really popular right now. The idea is that six of you get shut in a room, locked in together, and you have to solve problems to find a way out. It's group work that you are literally locked into. The whole idea is comparable to my idea of hell. Really? Wouldn't like to do it, even with my best friends. Can't we just go out for coffee and chat? If you really like the puzzles, we could design them ourselves. But this was not all. She wanted to include our spouses in this experience. We hadn't even met the spouses, and then pick numbers from a hat so that we had two randomly divided groups and then go into separate rooms with these strangers and race each other to get out first. Now, like I said, these rooms are incredibly popular, and they may well be your idea of a good time. I think her suggestion was a good idea, but it was not for me, and so I wanted to say no. Instead of saying no, I said I'd check with Moz, and I did. I said, "Hun, if going into one of these rooms is the deepest desire of your heart, then this is when we'll do it. Otherwise, let's just not go." So that was a no. On the same day as the invitation to the escape room, Gemma also invited me to her fundraiser. Now, I think this woman is incredible. She is working, raising two kids, and then in her spare time, she organises this huge fundraiser day. It's a high tea. The ladies dress up and have delicious foods, and there are competitions and music and goodness knows what. It's huge. She got on the local evening news with this one. Of course she wants everyone to go. It's important to her. It's important, full stop. So she asked me, and I said no. Why not? She said. Oh boy, what an awful situation. Why not? What excuse can I find? Am I too busy? Not really. Did I already have something else on? No. Did I want to go? Not on your Nelly. But I had an answer. I had already decided. Why not? Because this is my year of saying no to everything, says I. It was decided. Now I know that every year can't be the year of saying no to everything, but I figure I need the practice, so this year is the practice year. Perhaps after I get better at setting boundaries, I will just be able to say no, and then if asked why not, I will be able to think of some excuse like, it's just not for me, or I just don't think it's right now. In The Best Yes, Lisa Turkus has some great statements to give to soften your answer of no. While my heart wants me to say yes, the reality of my time makes this a no. I'm sorry, but I can't give it the attention it deserves. This is one of those seasons where I must decline lovely invitations, but thank you for thinking of me. All of these are much more gracious than my blurted answer. Maybe I need more practice. Second, this year I had to reward myself for saying no. I've told you that I feel very bad every time I let someone down, even if I know that saying no in a particular situation is the absolute right thing to do. I don't want people to be disappointed in me. Though I know in my head that I can't meet everyone's needs and expectations, I really want to. I have thrown party plan parties where nearly no one has shown up. I don't want anyone to go through that. I have organised prayer meetings where week after week no one has come along but me, and I would almost prefer to be burnt out than have another person feel that loneliness and failure. You might have guessed that I'm not the world's best salesperson. I'm the diametric opposite to Gemma. I want to be able to go to all the things, meet all the needs, comfort all the people, serve on all the committees. It's just impossible. But what is also impossible is living with the feeling of having let so many people down. Now that I'm getting used to saying no, I'm realising that I'm not necessarily doing a bad thing by letting them down. There are many instances where I would just be an unnoticed extra in the room. There are other times when maybe God wants the person to learn from something falling over. I'm pretty sure that's what was happening in my prayer group. And that if I show up and be the comforting person, I will be stepping in the way of God's plan. If I want to follow God's path for my life, then I can't veer off onto something else anytime someone asks me for a favour. So this year I decided to reward myself for saying no. If this was a lesson I needed to learn, then I needed a shot of encouragement each time I managed to decline an activity. Moz made me a star chart with a little path of hearts leading the princess to the castle, and I bought shiny gold stars from the local newsagent. Every time I've said no to something this year, I've got a gold star on my chart. I am building up to a reward at the end. I usually check with Moz, can I have a star for that one? And he usually says yes. He sees the stressing and overthinking that goes on whenever I turn something down. Here's an example. I was invited out to dinner with my friend Des on a Friday night. Des is lovely. She really understands me. She said, if you can't come because your introverted self needs time at home, that's fine. My introverted self did need time at home, but the teaching at church and in some podcasts I was listening to was about how important it was to eat with people, how eating together connects us and makes us family. And Des is very important to me. But at the same time, so was Friday night date night with Moz. We eat takeaway and watch a movie together. And I didn't know what to do. Moz was happy with whatever I decided. Des was happy with whatever I decided. I had to make the decision. I had to set the boundary. I wasn't so happy. I took ages to decide. And in the end, I sent Des a text Friday morning saying, no, I wouldn't come. Did I get a star for my star chart? You betcha. And that shiny gold star made me feel better about the decision, which I'm sure now was the right one. You may have no difficulty deciding what is right for you to do and what is not necessary. I know that some of you can't understand what my difficulty is and think I should just get over myself. I thank you for continuing to listen anyway. But I hope that for some of you, my journey is providing a helping hand on your own journey. And maybe it's not saying no that is a difficult thing for you. Maybe a star chart could be helpful in another area of your life. You could get a star for every half hour walked, for example, or for every time you do the dishes before going to bed. For me, Saying no is difficult, but the star chart helps. The reward helps. I can do a hard thing and then get some tangible appreciation of effort outlaid. It's helping me to train myself in setting boundaries, and the little tool of giving myself a gold star when I succeed has made a big difference to how I feel. Only 3 stars to go until my final reward, which I'm pretty sure is going to be a weekend away alone, just me and my books, and a whole heap of chocolate. Thank you for listening. Next week we have an interview with Alison where we talk, among other things, about what church should be. A place where everyone contributes their gifts, where we're all real with each other, where we feel safe. It's a great interview. Alison works in academia. She's a lecturer, and so we have a really good talk about that. She's also worked in Christian radio. She's a fascinating person. I think you'll really enjoy the interview next week. As always, special thanks to Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music, and I will chat with you again next week.